You know, let's be grateful. Can we give the band a hand? Thank them for their hard work this morning. It is so good to be here in church, and I'm continuing our series. We're talking about joy. And I want to share with you a couple of things. Firstly, I actually consider myself quite a decent swimmer. We grew up in the suburb of Triggs. Who knows where Triggs is? Trigg Island. We used to walk across the bush to go to the beach. You'd often find me there on Fridays about 12 o'clock during my high school years. So join the dots, everyone. We'd go surfing, we'd go swimming, the whole lot. And I love the smell of the ocean. A couple of years ago, I was out boogie boarding with my son and a couple of his friends, all teenagers. And here I am, about a 45, 46-year-old guy, quite confident of himself in the surf, and the breakers start rolling in. Have you ever been out swimming in the ocean and you get the sense that the waves are getting bigger? It's just like, whoa, there's a few sets coming in here which are a bit bigger than what they were when we first came out. I've been out there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, keeping up with the lads, and I was a bit tired, but the waves were starting to get bigger and I was really enjoying them. One particular wave, I was there and I was watching it come in. I thought, man, this is quite big, but who cares? Let's go for it. So I did. And you know that feeling you have when you skim down the face of the wave? And it's just almost, it's like exhilaration. And you skim down that face and then you're sort of in the curl of the wave. And it's just a beautiful moment of exhilaration, adrenaline, and fun. I'm coming back and I'm looking at the lads. They're all out there waiting for the next wave and I've got to go back out. And so I'm heading back out into the waves. I'm quite tired by this point. And there's this wave coming towards me, which is probably the biggest I'd seen that day. And you know, you have that sense of, what do I do now in this moment? Because it's coming upon me quite quickly. Do I duck under the wave or do I go over the top? You know, ollie-oop over the top of the wave. Well, I was too indecisive. So I'm finding myself and I think I'm going to go over the top. And I'm starting to go over the top. I push myself up, but I had left it too late. And the wave basically crashed down upon me, bang. And I had I wear sunglasses in the water, prescription glasses, because I don't see that well. And I'm under the water and the water is pounding me. I'm trying to grab my sunglasses with one hand. I'm trying to grab the boogie board with the other hand. And I'm actually looking up. And in that moment, I'm looking up at the surf pounding over me. And I thought for a moment, I'm actually in a bit of trouble here. I'm actually a little bit scared here. Something might actually happen because I was so tired and my body was aching and the wave just kept pounding and tossing me over and turning me. I haven't been dunked like that since I was a kid. And I was scared actually in that moment. Eventually the wave passes over and I stick my head up and I look around and I think, I'm fine, boys, I'm fine. Of course, they hadn't even noticed a thing. No one is looking at me coming dunked out of that water, but there I was. Water and the ocean, for me and perhaps for many of you, it's such a beautiful thing, isn't it? You know, you can just sort of feel the sun on the back of your neck. You can taste the salt in the air. It's fresh. And it's beautiful, and the beautiful coolness of the water on a hot day. And yet at the same time, in exactly the same breath, in exactly the same moment, that water that at one point is giving you exhilaration and fun and coolness, it also has the capability to drown you. And that's actually almost what I felt like in that moment. There's a beautiful psalm that we looked at last week, and I just really wanted to pile down into this psalm again. I wanted to look particularly at two verses we'll look at in a moment, Psalm 42. But just to set the scene, if you weren't here last week, I unpacked some of this psalm. The psalms are songs. They're songs that are written to be sung. And this psalm in particular was sung by what is called the Sons of Korah. It's called a lament psalm. And lament means I'm upset, I'm sad, I'm dealing with things. Things are really gritty in my life. There's a whole book in the Bible called Lamentations. This psalm is a psalm of lament. And it's super interesting that I'm actually wanting to talk about this song, this sad song that says so much, in the context of joy. And I want to look at these two verses because I think they might actually be really helpful for you. I want you to think about the analogies that the psalmist is writing about, even in your own life. Whether you come to church all the time and whether it's part of your story or whether you're here for the first time, I actually think this might be really helpful for you. So I'd really encourage you to listen and to hear what I'm trying to communicate, because I think there's some really important and helpful principles no matter where you're at in life. Because the analogy of me getting dunked in the surf in a physical way, I reckon there's been moments in your life where you have felt like that, where you have felt like wave after wave was crashing down upon your head and you have felt almost helpless and you felt out of your depth. I wonder if you ever felt that way. You've actually been so distressed and anxious and concerned and, dare I say it, out of control. You're actually not in charge. I wonder if you could think of a moment in your life where you felt like that, where things are just piling upon you and piling upon you and piling upon you. The psalmist writes this, a psalm of the descendants of Korah. Remember, the descendants of Korah, they are the musicians. They are the creative types. They are the people that sing the songs. They are the people that bring emotions to life. And it's a beautiful thing. It's why we all, I think, love music, because it's able to express thoughts and feelings through the medium of music that perhaps are difficult in other ways. And even if we don't write music, even if we don't play it, even if we don't sing it, we can still enjoy it, because as human beings, no matter what we think about spirituality or Jesus or God or any of those things, music is a universal language. You hear a song and it makes you feel sad. You hear another song, it makes you feel happy. You don't even have to know what the person is singing. It touches your soul. And it points, I believe, to a deep spirituality that actually we all have. So this psalm is sung by the descendants of Korah. And they say this, I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. A bit of historical context. So basically they're talking about the River Jordan, and they're talking about where the source of the river came from. And even if you go there today, the formation of the land hasn't changed that much over the years. But it basically comes from the source and goes down over about 75 kilometers, quite steep. Then about the last 25 kilometers is actually really steep. So we're talking waterfalls, we're talking raging torrents, we're talking water pouring over and crashing down, particularly when it's in full flood, right? Particularly when the season is right. He was probably, or she was probably, standing there by that river and watching that water come rushing down, torrents of water, and you can feel it, the spray coming over you. I visited a waterfall when I was on holidays in Phuket. And I tell you, the waterfall was small. You know, we swam right up to it and we stuck our head under it. And it was quite refreshing and lovely. This is not like that at all. This is a raging torrent of water. Just imagine that in your mind and then imagining yourself going into it and being pushed around and shoved around and being anxious and being afraid and gasping for breath and not knowing if you're actually going to survive. This is how he feels in this moment. This is exactly what he's talking about. And he says, your waves and surging tides sweep over me. Your, as in talking about God. There's something that's quite deep that is happening here. God may not have actually sent that torrent of water deliberately to crash over the songwriter's head and for them to actually experience that. But they are his waves. There's something quite profound about the idea that the world that you live in and I live in, with all its challenges and problems and things that are dangerous, even your life, we live in the world that God has created. You live in the world that God has created. there's a sense of responsibility there. There's also a sense that we cry out sometimes, why is the world the way it is, God? You made it. It's your waves. Why have you made it this way? And I think we probably even do that even with our own lives. Lord, why are things working out the way they are? Why has this happened to me? I wonder if you can think about a time where you've been super distressed, in super anxious mode, and maybe you've even cried out to God saying, why is this the way it is? Depression, anxiety, fear like water flowing down in an immense way. The truth is that sometimes these things cause us to go back to our Creator. I wonder sometimes if these things are a prompt for us to get back to the one who actually made it all. I wonder if our life is just flowing along and comfortable and smooth and nothing bad has ever happened. I wonder if we would ever actually even think of God. I'm not saying He sent it. I'm not saying He even wanted it to happen. But I do believe that there are times in your life where these things happen, and in one sense it forces you to go back to your Creator and revisit what's actually really important to you. Our faith might be challenged by the circumstances. That same water that can refresh you, can revitalize you, can be a beautiful force in your life, may very well be the same thing that causes you anxiety and stress and concern and feeling like you just can't cope. Another translation, and some of you may know this, is deep calls unto deep. And I've been fascinated by that phrase for a long time. Some of the older translations, instead of I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me, the phrase is deep calls unto deep. And lots of people discuss it and talk about it and what it all means. I wonder if this is what it means. The deepness of the things that you are going through, the things that threaten to overwhelm you, the things that threaten to derail everything in your life, that is very deep. But there's something that is greater than that deepness. There is something that is greater than that deepness. And that is the deepness of God's love for you. His concern for you. He does not sit back and disregard you. He sees what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. Because the psalmist moves on. But each day the Lord pours His unfailing love upon me. Each day the Lord pours His unfailing love upon me. So the analogy of the waterfall pounding over the rocks and the deep things that we all go through in our lives, the same analogy about the water pouring over the rocks is the same analogy where we have God's love pouring out. God knows your name. He knows who you are. I wonder if we could just ponder that for a moment. There are times in our own lives where we don't regard ourselves at all, where we don't think we're worth very much. Sometimes we don't even look after ourselves because we are not regarding ourselves very much. Someone here this morning needs to hear this. That God actually knows your name. God actually knows who you are. You may not know Him. You may not regard Him. You may dismiss everything about Him. But He actually knows your name. Each day the Lord pours His unfailing love upon me. Pours it out. The metaphor of the wave continues. Pain is actually an opportunity for us to experience God's love and the joy of God. The truth is, for me and for me personally, the times when I've most experienced God's love and most experienced the joy of God, joy as opposed to happiness. Happiness, remember we talked about this last week, happiness is the things that happen to us. things that happen to us. That is our circumstances. Joy is that sense that I can keep going. Joy is strength despite what is going on inside of us. The times I've most felt the strength of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, is actually those moments where I've most felt like I had no control. In fact, I was out of control. I had nothing that I could do. And I felt so dismayed and so distressed, maybe even angry at God. It's actually in those moments I can share with you this morning that I've most felt the joy and the love of God. I wonder if, you know, when things are just sailing along smoothly, when things are just going wonderfully, if in fact we do experience that much of God's joy and his love, maybe we disregard it. Each day, the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. That's a statement of faith that he makes. So what do we do about this? And what do we do as a church and as people that want to experience this and want to know this? What is the application for us? He says there, what she says there, through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. This morning I want to emphasized a bit about singing his songs and what that actually means. I think this is a really practical application of the love that we experience that God has for us. If we are saying that I love God and God loves me, if we are saying that's actually our experience, then the response is that we will sing songs, his songs. We'll sing praise to God. And I want to give you a really beautiful, this is so beautiful, this illustration. Back in Bible College, Theological College, we talked about how infinite God is and how God is outside of time. Try to get your head around the fact that God is outside of history, outside of time. It's very difficult because we are stuck in time, right? My lecturer gave us an illustration, which of course breaks down at some point. But I actually feel it's really helpful. If we're going to imagine that God is outside of time, I want us to imagine that God is a painter and all of creation, all of history, all of time is on a painting. He is sitting there and at times he comes in and intercedes in that painting. Jesus comes to earth and he speaks to you in a multitude of ways. But I want you to imagine that all of history and all of time is in that picture. And I want us to go back to when his people, God's people, sing. Think about King David. King David's there with Saul, and Saul is troubled by an evil spirit. King David picks up an instrument. Perhaps he sings a song, and the evil spirit leaves. I want you to picture the dedication of the temple with Solomon, where all the people gathered, and the presence of God came down, and it was so great that they couldn't stand to do their duties. The people are singing to God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, I will come and I will heal their land. The people are singing. We get to the disciples and Jesus is with the disciples and he's telling them stories about how he's going to go to the cross. And it's a terrible thought. And they sing a song. We get to the early church in Acts chapter 2 and they're gathered in the upper room. They're praying, they're singing praises to God. We get to Ephesians where Paul says to sing a song, to sing a psalm, to sing a spiritual song. And I want you to imagine that painting that I described. And here is God and he's singing. The people of God sing songs to him. And it brings him great joy and great pleasure when his people sing. When his people sing, God sees it. And then I want you to imagine after the scriptures are finished, the people of God don't stop singing. We have the great old hymns of the faith. Many of the great old hymns of the faith were taken from the bars and the pubs. The people would be getting drunk and they would sing these songs together. It would bring them joy. There wasn't a jukebox. There wasn't a CD. There wasn't anything. And so they would sing songs as they were drinking and enjoying the night. The Christians thought it would be a great idea to get some hymns put to the music of the pub songs. And so that's exactly what they did. And so many of the old hymns that we have are taken from the music of the pubs, given beautiful, rich theological words, and they were sung in church. I'm trying to imagine a drunk person stumbling home from a bar, and maybe it's a Sunday morning, and he stumbles past the church, and he recognizes the tune and what he thought in that moment. But God sees that. He sees the people of God singing. He sees it. He observes it. It brings him great joy. And the story goes on, and the story continues. In the 60s and the 70s, with the Jesus people reaching out to a new culture and a new generation, getting an acoustic guitar, sitting down by the river and singing Kumbaya. And a generation impacted through the music and the song of the people of God as they sung. And then those of you who, like me, grew up in a Baptist church and you bring out the brown book and the blue book and the yellow book. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And the songs, the choruses that came about. And God sees that. And he sees the people singing. And then you get to contemporary worship and what we do in our church. And he sees the people singing. And it brings him great joy. Can you imagine God knowing everything you're going through? Knowing the stuff that has troubled you, the stuff that challenges you. And then he sees you make a decision to sing a song of praise to him, regardless. And to say each day, the Lord pours out his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I will sing his songs. It's an act of faith to sing a worship song. It's a challenge. It's almost defiance to the world and to all the things that happen. No, that's not going to overtake my thoughts. That's not going to be who I am. I'm going to sing a song of joy to God, despite the water coming down and pummel me and all the rest. I'm going to finish just with a little story about something that someone said to Pastor Jess the other week, someone that hasn't been coming to our church for that long. And this is a real challenge for all of us, because I want to just speak to the church, Inglewood Church people right now. She said to Pastor Jess, when I came to your church, I wanted to look around, and the phrasing's super important. I wanted to look around and see what was the done thing. What was acceptable? I've come from a different church tradition. I wanted to know what was culturally appropriate in this church. What is the done thing? I wonder sometimes if we put limits on ourselves because we're concerned someone is looking at us when we're singing and worshiping and praising God together. Do we? We do, hey? We worry about what people's going to say, what they're going to think of us. Look at that person over there. Mate, they're getting a bit carried away, aren't they? Just calm down, mate. Don't do that in this church. Be a bit more sensible, will you? The testimony and the story of Scripture could not be more opposed to that. It could not be more different. You don't come here and sing for the people here. You don't come here to sing for me or for someone else. I mean, don't get me wrong. Let us all be an example to each other. Absolutely. Let us be an example to each other. But not an example of restraint. Not an example of embarrassment. Not an example where we're concerned about what someone else thinks. We come here to sing to who? Who do we come here to sing to? To God. And I think the primary place that starts is in your relationship with God. if you've lost that joy, if you're finding it difficult, you need to go back to God, because out of the wellspring, out of the deepness of your experience of God's love for you, will flow a song of praise. God loves me. God knows my name. Despite everything else that's going on, I'm going to sing a song to and for him. And I'm going to be an example to others. If someone does look at me, they're going to go, hey, that person loves God. Bit of a nutbag. A bit silly. But I like it. But I like it. Father, thank you so much for the joy that you give us all as we discover you and as we rest in you. Father, I want to pray and I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will touch and speak to anyone here this morning who hasn't yet discovered you. Lord, I want to pray that those who wonder if you're real, that even now in this moment, they'll experience the Holy Spirit. Lord, it's such a joy to know you. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that despite everything, you love us. And Lord, this morning we choose to sing, we choose to praise you, because you love us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Can we all stand to our feet this morning? Let's finish this morning with a song of praise, a song of worship to our God.